At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, it's JD here, and you're probably tired of podcasts asking you for money. I get it, so I'm not going to ask. I am, however, going to strongly suggest, with love, that you give me money.
This isn't about exclusive perks or gated content, though those exist. It's about supporting something you believe in.
If you've been enjoying the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown, if it's made you laugh, think, feel something, or reconnect with a band that means the world to you, this is your chance to give back.
I make this show because I love the hip, I love this community, and I believe in telling stories that matter. But it all takes time, energy, and of course, your support.
By joining the membership, you're not just helping to keep the show running, you're also helping to raise money for the ALS Society of Canada.
No minimum, no catch, no problem. buymeacoffee.com/TTH Top 40. Membership. Support the show. Support the cause. Support what you love.
A member of the DATC media family.
Previously on the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown.
Mark from Michigan. What did you think about Courage for Hugh McLennan the first time you heard it?
Well, the first time I heard the hip version, or the first time I really noticed it, I think I heard it in The Sweet Hereafter, but I didn't really have much memory of it then. But hearing it on the Your Favorites compilation the first time, my only frame of reference was the Sarah Polley version. It was a very quiet, gentle folk version. And I was blown away by just the pile-driving, hard-rocking, driving forward nature of the hips version.
Hey, it's JD here, and I am ready to go. The Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown is now underway. Week over week, we're going to count down the 40 essential tracks by the hip that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and a calculator watch operated by the power of friendship. How will your favorite songs fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in every week to find out. So there's that. This week I'm joined by TTH superfan Mike from Toronto, or as he's better known, Toronto Mike. How the hell are you doing on this hip-tastic day, Mike?
JD, good to see you. Good to be talking to you. I love that you keep coming up with these new podcast ideas, and they all have one common thread.
Yeah. The Tragically Hip.
TTH, as you say.
This is it, though. This is the last one. Unless,
well, you say that now.
Yeah.
We'll see. You'll find a new idea. Trust me, there's always ideas with the Tragically Hip.
We shall see. We shall see. So, everything is good in your world?
Everything's good, man. I was thinking when I saw my calendar said I had a 4 p.m. chat with JD about the Tragically Hip. I said, that's going to be the easiest thing I do all week. Like, I'm just going to talk from the heart off the top of my head about my favorite band of all time.
Oh, that should be, yeah, that should be a lot of fun.
Is there anything easier? Is there anything more fun than that?
You know, it's funny because I just recorded an episode a couple of minutes ago where I outline a call for submissions for this podcast, a call for guests, as it were. And one of my pitches in that is like, it's fun to be a Tragically Hip fan talking about the Tragically Hip with other the Tragically Hip fans, you know?
Oh, I'm 100%. Like, I would do this even if you weren't recording.
Well, we can do that at...
Maybe you're not recording.
No, I'm recording. I'm definitely recording. Well, let's get right into this. Let's talk about your Tragically Hip origin story.
Okay, JD, we're going back to the year 1989.
Wow.
So to give some context to the kids out there, this is pre-grunge, okay? Yeah. So I'm a Toronto radio listener, pre-grunge, so I'm into like, I don't know, Guns N' Roses and Aerosmith and Metallica. I really loved listening to Q107 at this time. So the Mighty Q was playing like new rock stuff.
More harder edge though, right? Like,
yeah, but still like edge. If Robert Plant did something, what was that long?
It's a good point.
Cool yeah. one or whatever. Like, so, but one of my favorite songs that Q107 played the heck out of was Copperhead Road by Steve Earle. So it wasn't all like hard stuff.
That's right. Okay.
But it was rock, right? So, you know, that's where my ears were. I used to love, I don't know if you remember the top 10 at 10.
Sure do. Yeah.
Shirley MacQueen. Do you remember Shirley MacQueen? So I had I was in love with Shirley MacQueen and I would listen to the top 10 at 10. And I know you know where I'm going with this, but I hear on Q107 in 1989, I hear this song, Blow It High Dough. Blow It High Dough. I mean, even the opening chords, I get the chills. Like, this is my first I know they had an EP before that. And JD, I'm glad we're talking because in that Tragically Hip documentary series, which we both watched on Prime, they talk about how that EP was played on Much Music. And I'm here to tell you, as a guy who was watching a lot of Much Music in the late 80s, I have zero memory of any Tragically Hip song before Blow It High Dough. Do you remember seeing any songs from the EP on Much Music?
I didn't have cable. I grew up without cable. We got cable. I left Waterford, my hometown, in 1994. And in the fall of 94, I came to Toronto to go to York University. And in the fall of 1994, my town also got cable. So it was like a giant kick in the pants.
Okay. Well, I'm here to tell you, as a guy, I don't know exactly when Much Music showed up on my cable, but it showed up with TSN in like the late 80s. But
right.
I had it. I can tell you the first anything from the Tragically Hip I was exposed to as I'm a teenager at this point, is Blow It High Dough. And Q's playing the hell out of it. And then they start playing New Orleans Is Sinking. And this 1-2 punch on Q107. I mean, I vividly remember that moment where it's like, what album is this on? And how quickly can I get my ass downtown to buy it?
Yeah.
It's like a punch in the face, man. Even today, 2024, when I hear Blow It High Dough, it's like, I don't think there's a hip song that makes me happier to hear, because it's like that was the first hip song I fell in love with. There's something about that first song that hooks you into a band.
That's really interesting. And that should be something that should be explored at some point by a podcaster in
Dude,
Toronto.
I'm telling you right now, I could do 90 minutes on this, because you can name the big band, okay? Let's say Sloan, right? Sloan with like a dozen big radio hits. But the first Sloan song I ever heard was on the radio. It was Underwhelmed. And to this day, I think that's the song that brings me the most joy. And there are so many bands, like even the Tea Party. What song do I get the most joy from? The River, because that was the first Tea Party song I ever heard on the radio. So there's something about that first song that hooks you in, that it might not be the best song in the catalog, but it could very well end up being your favorite song to hear because it was your first love.
So talk to me about the experience then of getting your ass downtown to the record store. First of all, were you an HMV guy, or were you a Sam's guy, or an independent guy?
Or an A&A guy.
A&A? I forgot about A&A.
Never forget. So,
yeah.
But I think about every weekend, I'd make a trip downtown with one of my buddies. And I distinctly remember who I was with and where I went. So I knew I was going to buy Up to Here, the new Tragically Hip album, which featured those songs, Blow It High Dough and New Orleans Is Sinking. And I went with my buddy Joe, who I'm still friends with today. And I remember we went to Sam the Record Man. I remember what he bought, because he bought an old Alice Cooper album. I think Billion Dollar Babies, I think he bought. And I bought Up to Here. And JD, I'll just tell you, I came home, stuck it in my CD player, and madly fell in love with the whole thing. Like, even in my mind now, thinking about 38 years old and Boots or Hearts, or I'll be leaving you, but I'll be leaving here tonight. I always screw up the title of that one. But what an album, right?
Yeah, it's like top to bottom. Yeah. I cannot wait to get the box set when it drops. Like, I didn't pre-order it, but I'm gonna hopefully get it for Christmas. That's what I'm hoping.
See, I don't like it when they mess with my albums. Like, I like my Up to Here the way I heard it in 1989.
There is something to that, isn't there? Like, with these remasters. Now, the one thing I will say about Up to Here being remastered, I know Road Apples was remastered by Don Smith himself. He did some of it. Mark Friedkin did the Atmos stuff, but Don Smith did the actual remix.
Yeah, the late great Don Smith, who lowest of the low will tell you was the worst producer they ever had.
Really?
Yeah. Ron Hawkins in my backyard telling me how much they hated working with Don Smith. This was the follow-up to Shakespeare My Butt.
Right.
And by the way, another band was like, anyway, I could go on and on about the first song you fall in love with from a band and how that one sticks forever. I feel like there's, at least for me, that's for sure. But I won't go on about Don Smith, except to tell you, the next album I heard from the Tragically Hip after Up to Here was Road Apples. And if you said to me, Mike, here is every album released by the Tragically Hip, go listen to a couple of them, I would go listen to Up to Here and Road Apples.
Oh, wow. Yep. You're a classic guy.
Maybe, like, just the bluesy rock energy of those two albums. And I think, I feel Road Apples is still underrated, like highly underrated. My wedding song was a long time running.
Really?
Hauntingly beautiful song.
Yes.
And so I mean, as far as I'm concerned, there's no better, you know, rock song on the planet than Little Bones. And I like references to Tom Thompson and Jacques Cousteau in my lyrics. Like, so my go-to albums are those, Up to Here and Road Apples.
Wow, that is fascinating. Those, I mean, I guess there's something to be said about where those records take you, right? It's back to, like, we're the same age, so it's back to your to your late teens, you know, not late teens, but like 16, 15, like when you're starting to be mobile and starting to form your own tastes.
Sure.
And what a wonderful experience. When did you consummate the deal and see them live?
Oh, first time I saw them live? I think I was a little late to this party because I'm sure I hear from people my age who are like, yeah, I was at this show in the early 90s and et cetera. And my first live Tragically Hip experience was New Year's Eve, 1999. So I feel like, I don't know, like I do the math and I'm like 24 or something like that. 24? 25. What am I?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
And that feels late to see my favorite band, but I just wasn't like, I wasn't a concert guy. Like I didn't have an older sibling or whatever. Or, like, I just didn't get out to concerts until kind of in my 20s. And then I started catching up for lost time. But I have vivid memories on that night, which was like Y2K, right? What will happen at 2000. But they went long. They did a really long set. And we all counted down. We're at the ACC. So the Tragically Hip, New Year's Eve, 1999, Air Canada Center. And we're all counting down to 2000. So 10, 9, 8, and we do it. And then they break in. They go into Ahead by a Century. And it was something magical about that night.
Oh, my gosh. So they played starting New Year's Eve and played right through.
Yep. Yep, they played till like, I don't know what they went to, like 12:30 or something, but it was a really long set and they had, so we all counted down to midnight and then I obviously wasn't worried about Y2K because I was at a rock concert. So.
Yeah. Oh boy, taking us back to those days. That was, what is going to happen? Oh my gosh. Right. What about that show? Let me rephrase this. Do you feel that live shows are similar to that first record or that first song sort of experience that you were talking about? Like, you know, they talk about people that are into drugs chasing highs, you know, like was that concert? Like, that's a pretty special concert. That's very memorable. Going into 2000, that's really cool. That beats my story, I think.
But is it ever as good? Well, see, another one of my favorite bands of all time is Pearl Jam. And the first time I saw them was Molson Park and Barry in 1998. And I think I've seen them now about 12 or 13 times. And I'm literally chasing that high. Like every Pearl Jam show I see, they're fucking great live. Like this is sort of like the Hip, like just a great live band. And I love it. Love Eddie Vedder the way I love Cord Downey, but he's just less Canadian. But... always good, but you know, there was nothing. My favorite Pearl Jam show is still that 98 show in Molson Park. But I will say, I have had like other great experiences at Hip shows. Another a band I've seen like 12 or 13 times, I think. Like, I've seen the Hip. I was trying to figure out it. I saw them at Molson Park and Barrie as well a couple of times. And I saw them at the ACC. I also saw them at the Molson Amphitheater. I saw them at the Hummingbird Center, whatever they're calling that now. And I saw them at Copt Coliseum in Hamilton. But one of my favorite shows was the Fort York show I saw. And I'm trying to remember when that was.
I've heard about that show. Yeah, I've heard big things. Yeah.
Well, you heard me mention earlier how much I love and loved Road Apples. And one of my favorite songs on Road Apples is 38 years old. And I'd seen the Hip at this point several times, and they never played 38 years old. Like, it just wasn't a song Gord would play. But this night at Fort York, which is a really cool venue to see your favorite band, but they played 38 years old, and it was something very special. I was sitting there in my Bill Barilko jersey, soaking it in, seeing the gardener in the, you know, in the distance there. What a night that was.
Oh, that's pretty special too. I want to hear more about the Meridian Center, or formerly the Hummingbird Center. I think it's the Meridian Center now. Something like that. What tour was that on?
What I can remember, and this won't narrow it down, because as you know, this is the most common opening act in the history of the Tragically Hip, but Sam Roberts opened.
Yeah, that narrows
it. Sam, by the way, who visited me, and we talked about this.
He is an FOTM, folks. He's a friend of
Toronto Mike. He's been in the basement, but Sam Roberts opened. The Hip were great. That was a period of time in my life where, you remember the wristbands and all that. Like, if they announced a Hip show, I would get my ass to a local Ticketmaster outlet to get a wristband, and then I'd come back, whatever it would be, like Saturday at 10 a.m. or whatever, and then get in line and buy tickets like at the Ticketmaster outlet. Like, this is that era. And I made sure I saw the Hip every time they came to the GTA back then. So that was just, but that venue I liked very much for the Hip.
I bet that would have been pretty wild. I saw them in Hamilton Place, and it was intimate. I never got to see them in a club.
But that's Copt, right? Is that Copt?
No, Copt is a separate building. Yeah. Okay. Copt is more like an arena, and Hamilton Place is more like Massey. Kind of.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's I saw David Copperfield there years ago.
Wow.
A magician. He made a motorcycle disappear.
That's wild stuff, man.
But yeah, I never got to see them I saw them at the Danforth Music Hall. That was probably the most intimate I've seen them.
Well, that's very intimate, I think.
Yeah. And it was right down the street from my house. So it was, they played Fully Completely front to back.
Okay, Fully Completely. Can I just say this about Fully Completely? Because I also, of course, I owned that, bought it on the first day it was available for sale, and it is a playthrough as well, and it's hit-laden. Like, I think that's the most hit-laden Hip album. But I feel like the songs on Fully Completely, they seem to be everywhere. Like, they just seem to be in the atmosphere. Like, so you kind of soak them in through osmosis, just walking the streets of Toronto. And I think that's part of the reason, because I mentioned I go to Up to Here and Road Apples. Why aren't I going to Fully Completely, like the big one? I feel like it's almost too big. Like, I just prefer Up to Here and Road Apples. Like, they have a little more, they're just a little more charming in their appeal, and they're less broad, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. Yeah, I get that.
I've just felt bad for Fully. I thought Fully Completely could be listening. I didn't want to offend Fully Completely.
It's very funny. When people were submitting their top 20 lists, there were a lot of people that were very precious about it, right? Like, they didn't, and it's a very similar experience. They didn't want to offend the other tracks.
Well, I feel that way about more recent Hip albums, because I feel like I was as big a fan as there are, and I absolutely fall off at some point.
Me too.
And it's like, by the time we get to Man Machine Poem, I'm like a few discs behind at least. And it's like the last one I remember really playing a lot was In Violet Light.
Me too. That was the last time I saw them on tour as well.
But I can say the same thing about Pearl Jam. Like, the last Pearl Jam album I played to death.
No Code?
No, it was Yield.
Yield, okay.
And that's 98. So what does that say about us, JD?
Yeah, we're old men.
No, I think shout out to Moxie Fruvis, but we're stuck in the 90s.
Well, Mike, should we get to the reveal of our song today that we're going to be discussing?
JD, absolutely. But I want to shout out the final Hip show I saw.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
The Man Machine Poem Tour, because I had this when I learned about Gord's diagnosis and that they were doing one last tour, I have two older kids, and I really wanted them to see their dad's favorite band of all time. Like, this was important to me. And I tried so hard to score three or even two tickets to one of the last shows. And I managed to finally get a single seat. So I had a single seat. And I thought it was going to be the last Toronto show, but they actually added a third show.
They added a third show. That's right.
So I thought I was at the last show, and then it turned out to be the middle show. But so I biked over to the ACC. I bought a t-shirt, and I soaked this, like, the only hip show I've ever gone solo to. Like, I soaked it in solo, like it was some kind of a religious experience. And
it just was, sort of.
Kind of was. Like, and that night was very, very, very emotional. Like, even I remember my night ride home on the waterfront trail by Lake Ontario, and just kind of just very, very, very emotional. And the next day, I think I was driving the family to Prince Edward Island. Like, we had planned this 2-week, like, East Coast road thing. And I remember when the final show aired on CBC across the country, this is now August 20th, 2016. I was in Inganish, Cape Breton Island in Nova Scotia. And now I'm not at this show. I'm in Inganish watching it on TV like most people. But I remember openly weeping with my second born, who was crying with me. And I'll never forget that experience either. Just openly weeping because the lyrics were hitting differently. And I knew this was the last time I'd see my favorite band perform live. And I'm getting chills just talking about it.
You just made my arm hair stand up. Yeah, I'm not even joking.
So I was at that, to shout that out. Go ahead.
I was at that same show, and it was, I have, because of other issues, I have a very poor memory, but I have some strong memories of that night, and they involve tears as well. Yeah.
And songs hit differently that night, like Nautical Disaster. And there's different songs where they always were kind of effective songs. And shout out to Day for Night. I feel that gets lost in the fully, completely juggernaut noise tunnel there. But because Day for Night, I like very, very much.
Me too.
And shout out to Mark Howard, who did a great job on that. I don't know if he gets enough props for that. But that song, that hauntingly beautiful Nautical Disaster, hits so differently when the man singing his heart out is dying.
Yeah, and we had no idea, like, it was going to be so soon after. In hindsight, it was, I mean, you look at the output of work that he did in those remaining, you know, 12 or 13 months. It was staggering, but it happened so quickly, you know? It's like we're 2 days away from the anniversary right now of his passing. And it's been 9 years. Like, has it been 9 years?
2017 he dies, so it's not quite
not quite
more like 7, I think. If that math works, 7 years.
I need my abacus. That's the problem. All right, well, let's go to the song of the week right now. We'll be back right after this with Toronto Mike, and we will discuss the song of the week. Hey, it's JD here, and I want to take a second to talk about our sponsorship partner, North Star Bets. Don't fast forward, please. Listen to what I have to say. If you're somebody who dabbles in sports betting or slots or casino games, this is where you gotta go. And I'm gonna tell you why. Customer experience is important. North Star Bets is a recognized leader in that space, having won awards. That's nothing to shake a stick at, unless, of course, it's a complimentary type shake. Listen. When you need help, you're going to get a real person 24/7. You're not going to be dealing with an AI bot. You're not going to have to listen to me. So go to North Star Bets and take advantage of their wicked customer service. Don't take my word for it. Visit today. Must be 19 plus to play. North Star Bets is licensed by iGaming Ontario. Please gamble responsibly.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, this is Paul Langlois from the Tragically Hip saying hello. Now on with the countdown.
Number nine. 17. For a girl I know, it's Mother's Day. Her son is gonna leave, and that's where he will stay. Wind on the weather vane, tear and blue eyes sailing me. His Falstaff sings a sorrowful refrain for a boy in fiddler's green. Tiny knotted heart. Well, I guess it never worked too good. The timber tore apart, and the water gorged the wood. You can hear her whisper, pray, yeah, for men at mass that always leave. The same wind that moves ahead, yeah, moves her boy through Fiddler's Green. There's nowhere that he's really been, but he won't travel long, no, not in Fiddler's Green. Balloons all filled with rain, his children's eyes turn sleepy, and Falstaff sings a sorrowful refrain for a boy fiddler's green.
Fiddler's Green, a song debuted on the February 19, 91 release Road Apples, but not played live until 2006, and it did not become a staple on the set list until 2009. Mike, your song is Fiddler's Green. This is a tragic song. What are your thoughts?
Well, that song, geez, tearing up just hearing it, but Gord's lyrics in that song are like next level poignant. And combined with that music, it's so moving, right? Like, did you know, JD, that the term Fiddler's Green is one used by sailors to describe an afterlife? Did you know that?
I did know that because I've had three other Tragically Hip podcasts, but but I did forget till you reminded me.
Well, you're JD, the Tragically Hip guy, so of course you knew that. But just all these nautical terms, you know, Gone a Lee, he talks, you know, his What's nephew is Gone a Lee. That means you're like you're on the boat and you're facing away from the wind. So that means you're kind of moving it downwind, like all these terms. Like, and the opening line, like September 17, for a girl I know, it's Mother's Day. Her son has gone a Lee, and that's where he will stay.
Ugh.
Like, that is a heartbreaking lyric, even if you don't know what this song is about.
I went several years without knowing what it was about, and it was heartbreaking, you know? Like, it's just like his timbre, his tone, like, everything about it is sad. And I really like that nautical stuff. Yeah.
The music is beautiful. The lyrics are beautiful. And then when you learn about what Gord is singing about, it's so incredibly heartbreaking. So for those who don't know, this song is about Charles. And that's Gord's nephew. And he passed away on September 17th, 1989. So there's your opening lyric, September 17, for a girl I know it's Mother's Day. And that's Gord's sister he's singing about there. And Charles is only 3.5 years old when he passes away. And in this documentary series that most hip fans have seen, and if they haven't, they should, this Prime 4-episode series, you know, we get to hear from Gord's sister, and she reads the letter that Gord sent her about that song. And even thinking about that scene, I could cry right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no wonder that they didn't play it live. I can't imagine the emotional weight of finally playing it live. And they did. I'm pretty sure they played it at the show we saw at the ACC, right? On the finale tour.
I think it was too soon. And then at some point it morphs from something sad into something
celebratory.
Celebratory, like remembering Charles and, you know, with a smile instead of with that, I can't believe he passed away so innocent and so young.
Yeah.
But I'll say before I really understood the story. So when Gord passed away, because I know JD, just like you, like a big, big downy head over here. And when I got that email from the Tragically Hip mailing list, I got that email that morning that Gord had passed away. I actually remembered the feeling of like, I don't know what to do. And I found my way down here. So people can't see me, but I'm in my basement studio. You've been down here, JD.
Yep.
So I found my way down here and I pressed record and I played Fiddler's Green. That's what I did that morning. And then I started to talk and it was one take. Nothing scripted, like a tearful recording about the news I had just heard. That audio is still in the Toronto Mike feed. It's called For Gord. And there was only one song I wanted to play that morning, and it was Fiddler's Green.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to put a link to that episode in the show notes for this for sure, so people can give that a listen. Because it's from the heart. It's very raw.
Tears were shed, JD.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a crazy day. I remember I used to sit in a Starbucks every morning. This was when I first started not working. And I remember the same thing. I was sitting in my comfy chair, listening to music, and all of a sudden the email came through and it was just like, gotta be fucking kidding me.
And you knew it was coming and it still hit you like a ton of bricks.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a German word for that. Like when you know something's coming and it still hits you like you didn't see it coming. There's got to be a German word for that.
I'm sure there is.
And how much do I love road apples? Okay, so I mean, no one can see us right now except
you. Pulling out road apples, the sleeve.
Right. So album. I've got this in the studio. This is a vinyl copy of the Tragically Hip's Road Apples. And I have nothing in this house that can play this vinyl. There's nothing in this home that plays a record, but here it is because I like seeing it. Like, I just like seeing.
Oh, the photographs are great in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tremendous. My first CD I ever owned was Road Apples.
That's a mind blow right there.
Yeah. That's the first CD I ever bought. I didn't even have a CD player yet. I knew I was getting one.
Well, you were anticipating. That's right. That's amazing. Cordelia is a great song too. Here, I'm sharing out all the...
No.
Cordelia is a beautiful, beautiful song. Like, it rocks with the bluesy rockers, like Little Bones and stuff, and Twist My Arm. And then you got these like Cordelia. And of course, we talked in great length here about Fiddler's Green. And I talked about my wedding song, Long Time Running. What an album. What an underappreciated, underrated, tragically hip album that Road Apples is.
It's funny to say that it's underappreciated because it's like five times platinum, you know, it's the story, like it's the song of our youth, but I feel the same. It's the soundtrack to our youth, but I feel the same as you. I feel like, you know, like I would have loved to have seen them sell out the Sky Dome a couple times. I would have loved to have seen them play, you know, in front of 50,000 people. I guess I did in Markham, but a little bit different with a festival setting versus a stadium. But I have no doubt that they could probably do three nights at the Sky Dome, or they could have been at their peak.
Yeah, their popularity in this market, particularly unlimited at that time, I would
tell you. Yeah. They opened the ACC, didn't they?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. That'd be 1999, right?
Yeah.
Early 1999.
Yeah.
And then I would see them there later that year.
That's very cool. Well, Mike, it's been great talking to you today. Is there anything, and I know there is, that you would like to plug?
No, I just want to let the listeners know that I was lucky enough to be visited last summer by Paul Langlois, who visited the basement. So this is, you know, in my basement, like sitting in that chair I'm pointing to, I could reach over and tug on his hair, and he brought his guitar. And this is before, of course, we saw this 4-episode series. So I asked him a whole bunch of those questions I've been holding on to forever. Like, how did you feel when Gord, you know, was told you Coke Machine Glow was going to drop and it was his album of No Hip? Like, how did that feel? And then I asked him about, you know, because they did the one-off at the Junos with Feist singing. Like, is there any other scenario where the Hip would play with a different lead singer? And then I pitched him an idea I have. And
can you repitch?
Yeah, sure. So, Sam Roberts was great, but the other band I saw, because he was also managed by Jay Gold, but the other band that I absolutely adore from this time period who opened for the Hip many times, I saw them open many, many times, is The Watchmen. I love The Watchmen.
Okay.
When I close my eyes, I can see, you know, the surviving members of the Tragically Hip playing and Danny Graves singing on Tragically Hip songs. I can see that. And I pitched it to Paul and he didn't say anything. I know in the documentary, it gets shot down.
Pretty hard.
Rob Baker shuts it down right away.
Yeah.
But I talked to Paul. I said to him, okay, what about, and he kind of had this moment of like, I think Paul could see it. So I just got to work on Rob now. And I'm not looking for that. It wouldn't be the Tragically Hip. It would be members of the Tragically Hip playing Tragically Hip songs with a different lead singer. And we're only doing this because Gord's no longer with us. And I think Danny Graves, who's an amazing singer, I think he'd be the guy for the job.
I like the idea. I would twist it just a little bit and I would have like maybe 5 or 6 singers and each do like 2 or 3 songs, you know, just to get some variety, like have Leslie Feist come out again, maybe have Sam Roberts come out again and interpret it. By Divine Right used to open for them a lot. So
Dave Bedini, you want him in there?
Dave Bedini, yeah, absolutely. All stars.
Yeah, so I guess I want to let people know that this Paul Langlois conversation, which was unedited, and I wasn't told, like, don't ask about this, don't ask about that. So I just did my thing with Paul, and then he whips out his guitar and plays for me. And it's all in an episode of Toronto Mic'd. You can find it in the Toronto Mic'd feed. And I think Hipheads would love this content. And it was particularly magical before that documentary, which answered a bunch of questions us Hip fans had. But
for sure,
you know, this was a memorable moment for me because it was the first time a member of my favorite band had visited the basement of my home studio.
And he played for you.
And he was great.
An audience of, like, Jake was down there, right?
Yeah, Jake came with them and sat off there on the side. And I will say that Paul sounded fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good episode. And that's the kind of stuff you get. If you are, you know, in this sort of cohort, like 35 to 60, I would say, and you've grown up in Toronto or Ontario, and you like nostalgia, and you like Toronto radio and Toronto media, as well as just great guests, you got to check out the content of TMDS and his flagship podcast, Toronto Mic'd.
Dude, the check's in the mail. That was a hell of a plug.
All right. Thanks for doing this. It's been a pleasure to chat with you this afternoon.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I don't know what number I'll be in the sequence, but this is an honor for me to be on one of your great, you know, Gore Downie / Tragically Hip podcasts. And I can't wait to hear the rest of this series.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. All right. Well, that's what I've got for you. Thanks so much. Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. To email us, send an email to tthtop40@gmail.com. We're social. Find us on all the socials at tthtop40.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.